Did you see it or did you miss it? That is the question. Unless you hopped on a plane and flew above the clouds, you might have missed the rare great conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn on the evening of the first day of this Dracaena if you live in southwestern BC. But that's generally our lot. It's often safer to bet on a cloudy sky than a clear one in this part of the world. There are many more webbed feet around here than there are suntans. What we did get, at least where I live, was several inches of snow in the early morning, right on schedule for the winter solstice. And of course, slush in the afternoon. However, there was a spectacular sunset, high, billowy, pink and gold clouds that continued to block out the conjunction from our perspective, but gave us a gorgeous sunset worthy of this special day. As if to celebrate the initiation of wind, breath, and spirit on the first day of this Eek Wind Dracaena. Welcome to episode 21 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, continuing with this podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. As always, we're working here with a calendrical system that has at its core 20 solar-based energies working in conjunction with 13 unique numerical powers to create a cycle of 260 days that involves the interconnecting and cycling of those 20 solar forces with the 13 numbers to create a count of days referred to in Yucatec Maya as a Zolkin. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique. Each one ties in with events not only going on in the world, but also in people's individual lives, as every person carries the energetic imprint and characteristics of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. The influence of those energies on world events and people's lives is the focus for both the blog and this podcast, which is done by tracking the Dracaenas, the 13-day periods that cycle within this system, with each one having a different emphasis or theme. We're now working with the energies of the Eek, that's I-K apostrophe, Dracaena, relating to wind, breath, and spirit, which began on Monday, December 21st. As noted in my horoscope blog, there was a lot going on the first day of this Dracaena, since the very first day coincided with the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, and the first day of winter, as that snowfall and slushy follow-up so rudely reminded us. Above the clouds at that time, there was the peak of the Ursid meteor shower, and in the early evening, the heralded great conjunction between the two largest planets in our solar system, a kind of Christmas star at the end of a grueling year. Astronomers tell us that apparently this was the closest conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn since 1623. And that it had been nearly 800 years since it was last in plain view. For those of us who were sky disadvantaged at this time, space.com and others, such as the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, were able to provide webcasts to help us see what was going on. They also explained that Saturn is actually 455 million miles away from Jupiter, but illustrated how, from the perspective of our planet, these two have been appearing closer and closer to one another over the past few weeks, and will continue to appear close to one another throughout the remaining days of this Dracaena. Well, they didn't talk about this Dracaena, since they likely don't know about it, or if they do, they keep it a secret. But nevertheless, that's the way things are lining up. As these two planets come close together, their combined light shone at about 1/5 the size of our moon, so they tell me, and wide-field telescopes would have been able to not only see these planets, but several of their moons as well. Maybe, if we are blessed with at least one clear evening during this period, we'll also get a first-hand glimpse. Anyway, it wasn't just astronomers who were excited about this, as astrologers were pointing out that this marks the beginning of 200 years of great conjunctions in air signs, Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra. So many are seeing it as the start of the Age of Air, a great mutation that marks the change from Earth signs to air signs, initiating a move away from restriction and materialism towards greater humanitarianism, innovation, and liberation in thought and action. Sounds good. Sounds great. But first we have to deal with getting rid of COVID. And that is definitely an air-based challenge. So back to the energies of this Dracaena. As noted in the blog, this particular Dracaena was seen traditionally as being aligned with wind, breath, and spirit, and even high magic. It begins with the energy associated with Ehikat, the wind breath spirit form of the great feathered serpent that was often seen as a portal to the heavens. One of his most prominent symbols was a duck-billed mask, representative of the wind that blows in all directions. And over the past 260 days, the last full cycle, we have all come to realize that one of the most important things that we can all do at this time is to wear masks whenever we leave our homes. As always, the first day of any time period begins with an initiating energy represented by Ishel, the moon goddess, the goddess of number one. So as this Ik Dracaena begins, we find the moon goddess working with Ehikat, the moon working with wind, breath, and spirit. And within the context of this system, the energy of the first day of any given Dracaena has an influence on each of the remaining days within the period. In this case, whatever Ehikat is bringing in will also influence the rest of the time frame. As mentioned the last time this was in place, Ehikat is a variant of the great feathered serpent, known as Kukulkan or Quetzalcoatl, which is significant on multiple levels, one of which is the serpentine energy that has long been associated with medicine. In Greek mythology, the rod of Asclepius is a serpent-entwined staff wielded by the Greek god Asclepius, a deity associated with healing and medicinal arts. So the serpent has long been associated with the healing arts. The serpent's ability to shed its skin and renew itself is a key concept here, in addition to its ancient connection with alchemy, as well as with communication and negotiation. It's also expressive of the dual nature of the work of the physician, who deals with the dualities of life and death, sickness and health. All of that was quickly becoming the focus of attention the last time this tracina was in place, last April. All over the world, people were scrambling to find masks that could slow down or prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Intense negotiations were going on over the acquisition of personal protective equipment. The number of COVID cases began to escalate significantly at that time, and no one had any idea how long it would take to develop preventative vaccines. By the beginning of this tracina at that time, which was April 5th of this year, just after the Maya New Year, the global number of cases, the global number, was over 1.2 million. And now, exactly one cycle later, that's the number of cases in Florida alone. And both California and Texas are creeping close to 2 million cases each. One cycle ago, the U.S. total was just over 300,000 cases overall as this tracina was coming in, which seemed like a lot at that time. But during this tracina, the numbers started to escalate rapidly and continued to do so over the following months. Just as we returned to this time frame this time, the U.S. surpassed 18 million cases, and they have recently had increases of over 300,000 new cases a day. This, of course, has been the central issue of 2020. And as we return to this tracina at the end of this year, it appears that the battle to overcome it has developed into several fronts. Almost as if those winds being blown by a cat are indeed going in multiple directions, some positive and some not so good. Such as in the UK, where a new, rapidly spreading variant of the coronavirus recently was found in southeast England, and that has led to the UK's isolation now from the rest of the world. Just as this tracina began, at least 40 countries banned UK arrivals, so that immediately put a stop to all flight arrivals and departures. At the same time, the French government announced a 48-hour ban on truckers using ferry and rail routes between England and France, leaving a large number of trucks and drivers stranded. They're in the process of sorting that out now. While this was going on, EU leaders were holding crisis meetings to discuss how to develop a coordinated approach to dealing with this new strain. And the Royal Mail even suspended deliveries of packages and letters to mainland Europe, Canada, and Turkey. So now all of this is escalating into the challenge of dealing with supply chains while combating the pandemic. And in addition to all this, French President Emmanuel Macron, who turned 43 on the first day of this tracina, on the solstice, is now in isolation, having tested positive. And UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who was admitted to the hospital with coronavirus on the first day of this tracina last April, only has a few days left to come up with a Brexit deal before the UK finds itself with a no-deal Brexit, further isolating it in the middle of this global crisis. The winds blowing on the more positive side can be seen in the fact that many countries are now fast-tracking their vaccination programs. And with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris both receiving theirs during this period, they will have a much-needed extra level of protection, something they will need as they face the monumental task before them in terms of taking over the U.S. presidency in a few weeks. In the U.S., we can see a very interesting echo in action at this time. If you've heard other podcasts in this series, you may recall me speaking of that echo effect that often can be seen when a day sign or trisina returns after one or more cycles. It's that idea of a topic often being revisited when the same energy comes back into place. We can see that happening now with regard to the coronavirus relief package that Congress in the U.S. has been working on. Last April, the second day of this trisina was when coronavirus relief payments began to be paid out to U.S. citizens as part of the federal government's emergency package to help small businesses, but application problems and a general lack of guidance plagued the rollout. This time, on the same day, which is two Akbal associated with deep mysteries, a new relief bill that is to provide $900 billion in additional funding to help Americans who are on the brink of financial disaster is supposed to be signed by the dumpster, who has basically checked out completely in terms of providing any kind of leadership. What could go wrong? What about the fact that he's threatening not to sign it, and that he's too busy granting pardons to felons? Anyway, Congress voted to pass the 5,593-page bill on Monday, again on the first day of this trisina, going right down to the wire with the government on the brink of another shutdown after months of negotiation. There was much complaining as lawmakers were being asked to vote on this critical package, apparently one of the largest relief packages in American history, even though there was no time provided to read and consider the details. So this whole business of agreeing on a relief package and figuring out how to actually get the money to the people who need it is now going into replay mode, with that echo rebounding from last April's Eek, Trisina, to this one. Perhaps we don't want to even think about the fact that on the third day of this Trisina, last April, which is 3Con, and again coming up 3Con, the activation of opulence, that was when the dumpster ousted the leader of a new panel of watchdogs that were charged with overseeing how his administration would spend the trillions of taxpayer dollars that had been agreed upon for coronavirus relief. That ousting was all part of a White House power play over semi-independent federal inspectors general. And now, on this 3Con, which is December 23rd, with $900 billion at stake, and with the recent report of the dumpster being in meltdown mode, what could possibly go wrong? By the time we get to Christmas Eve, the Maya energy of 4 Chikchan will be in place. This can translate as the defining of life force, and it was seen traditionally as a burner day, along the lines of accepting something and running with it. This time, in conjunction with Quetzalcoatl's connection with liberation and higher consciousness. By the time this came into place last April, Wuhan in China was emerging from lockdown, after being in quarantine and sealed off from the outside world for 76 days. People were finally allowed to leave, and trains and flights resumed service after the coronavirus outbreak had effectively been quelled with near zero new infections in recent weeks. And it seemed to have had lasting effect since it's been almost a year since China first alerted the World Health Organization to the 27 cases that they had found of what they called viral pneumonia in Wuhan on December 31st, 2019. As of now, 1 year later, life seems to have returned to a workable level of normal in that city, as Wuhan has not recorded a new locally transmitted case in several months. In August, they were posting pictures of people playing in a massive water park party, but apparently strict public health measures are still in place as a precaution. And then we come to Christmas Day, which will be significantly different from the norm for many. As if to emphasize what this year has been like, the Maya calendar energy in place on this day is Kimi. Depicted in skeletal form, Kimi is associated with absolute foundations, very bare bones, very sparse. The last time this 5 Kimi energy was in place, last April, it marked the 100th day since China alerted the World Health Organization about those several pneumonia cases, which were later identified as COVID-19. That was an energy echo from 5 Kimi in 2014, which was the day when the world was put on high alert regarding the Ebola virus. As can be seen here, Kimi often manifests as a kind of game-changing force, as it can bring things right down to the barest of essentials prior to regeneration. But that can also mean bringing things down to pure spirit, which can be that game-changing turning point. Looking at it this way, this would be a good time to count blessings, whatever they may be. Actually, there's a little story I'd like to share with you about that very thing, an event that took place on a frigid 5 Kimi night in mid-December in 1862. The Civil War was raging, and there was a battle going on at Fredericksburg, 66 miles to the north of Charlottesville. That night, a spectacular display of the Aurora Borealis stopped everyone in their tracks in what has been called one of the most dramatic presentations of the Northern Lights ever recorded. One eyewitness account said that the sky turned as red as blood. Another account said that one outfit that had stood firm under fire on the battlefield ran off in a panic because many had no idea what the phenomenon was. The display had started a little after 6 p.m., and intensified to create a swirling multicolored spectacle above a ghastly battlefield strewn with dead. It must have been highly surreal, particularly since the Northern Lights are rarely ever seen that far south. One writer wrote that an elderly woman had said to her, "Oh, child, this is a terrible omen. Such lights never burn, save for kings and heroes' deaths." So that was a particularly dramatic five kimi event. Keep in mind that the energy at the beginning of this trisena is working with the other days. So here we would have had kimi's bare bones, absolute foundations energy, working with ehikat's wind, breath, and spirit. And that was almost a classic manifestation of those energies working together, in the sense that kimi was highly visible on the battlefield, and ehikat was dancing across the sky. This current five kimi day will be also a very cold one for many in the Northern Hemisphere. But two cycles ago, it was the reverse, as all-time high temperature records were shattered in many European countries. And scientists warned that the speed and extent of global warming was exceeding any similar event in the past 2,000 years. They were telling us that the period from that date, which was July 2019, to the end of 2020 would be critical in terms of dealing with the global heating crisis and other environmental challenges, and announced that a series of critical UN meetings would take place during this period. At that time, no one had any idea that 2020 would also bring a global pandemic, which would significantly divert attention. We won't talk about how worse than useless the dumpsters administration has been in this regard, but Joe Biden has just introduced a team who will lead an ambitious plan to tackle climate change as soon as he takes over. So we should finally see some important steps being taken in 2021. Jumping down to the midpoint of this trisena, we find 7 Lamat. This is a heralding type of force, another aspect of Quetzalcoatl, aligned with Venus. The last time this was in place, the world's population reached over 7,777,000,000. And 3 days after that, there were sevens across the board, sevens in all 10 positions. And now, just as this same trisena returned one cycle later, that same number reappeared, with sevens in all 10 positions. But this time, that number was marking the number of COVID-19 cases that had been recorded globally as of yesterday. That's more than a little eerie. But it seemed that 7 Lamat was living up to its reputation as a herald. Right now, the global population is just over 7.8 billion and is matching the global number of cases that are now over 78 million. Meaning that over the past year, approximately 1% of the world's population has become infected, including many of the world's leaders. Very, very sobering. Last April, when this energy was in place, Pope Francis delivered an Easter vigil service to a near-empty St. Peter's Basilica, and Boris Johnson admitted that he owes his life to the National Health Service staff who had been treating him in hospital. That was the day when, for the first time, in all 50 U.S. states, they were all under disaster declaration, with Wyoming becoming the last state to so declare. I haven't mentioned the patron of this Tresina yet, who was seen by the Aztecs as being Chantico, the goddess of terrestrial fire, associated with the warmth and nourishment of the hearth fire, the home fires. Not only was she seen as this Tresina's patron, but she was connected particularly with the ninth day, which is Nine Oak. Although this can be an intense, fiery energy, it can also bring much warmth, which is why its Maya glyph is representative of a dog. Love, loyalty, and guidance are very much connected with this, and any actions that tie in with this often have a long-lasting effect. This is an energy associated with high magic, and many very creative magicians have been born under its influence. The last time I did a podcast relating to this Tresina, I spoke of Mark Twain as being one of these Nine Oak magicians. The much-loved Alex Trebek, the host of the game show Jeopardy for 37 seasons, was another. Alex made his departure in early November and had taped his final episodes just 2 weeks earlier. Alex had been a long-time philanthropist and activist, active with charities such as World Vision Canada and United Service Organizations. He made appearances at several military bases throughout the world as a morale booster for troops. In 1998, he donated 74 acres of open land in the Hollywood Hills to the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy. 8 years later, he donated $5 million to the University of Ottawa to fund a forum for dialogue, oriented around the objective of exposing students to a wide range of diverse views through public panels, events, and lectures by speakers from around the world. In March of this year, he donated $100,000 to Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission, a homeless shelter in Los Angeles. And by October, not long before his departure, his gifts to the University of Ottawa totaled around $10 million. He had been given the key to the city by the City of Ottawa in 2016. And the following year, he was named an Officer of the Order of Canada for his iconic achievements in television and for his promotion of learning, notably as a champion for geographical literacy. In everything he did, it seemed that Alex exemplified the love, loyalty, and guidance that is associated with this energy. Just to return to Chantico for a moment, you might think of this force as being very, very busy during this Tresina, as she was seen as the deity of home and hearth. So with her energy overseeing this period, she would not only be helping people to shelter at home, but encouraging people to count their blessings. She provides the reminder that this would be an opportune time to turn towards things that can inspire and uplift, and to look for moments of high magic in places close to home. When we get to New Year's Eve, the Maya energy will be 11 ebb. Inspirational, animating vitality, aligned with healing and with change and new possibilities. Right on schedule this year. I should point out here that this is the end of the Gregorian year and not the Maya year. That will happen in late March. There were all sorts of rituals and ceremonies tied in with the special days in the Maya calendar, oriented around year end and new year, some of which tie in with the Maya month, which I have not really been dealing with here. That's a whole other layer that I will address later. As I said, the Maya year end is in March, not now. For now, I can just mention that the Maya month that is in place at this time is known as Can Kin, which translates as precious sun or precious day. And it seems to me that having 11 ebbs inspirational, animating vitality in place on the last day of this year brings in more than a little bit of hope and preciousness at this very dark time. One thing we can certainly be grateful for is that the reign of lunacy that has gone on in Washington over the last 4 years is coming to an end in 20 days from this point. And for 80 million Americans and billions more around the world, this is a cause for great celebration. It has now been 1 year since China alerted the WHO to the cases in Wuhan that later became known as the coronavirus. That was a Kimi day, 9 Kimi, which could translate as the outward projection of death, which certainly foretold what was to unfold over the course of 2020. But now we have 11 ebb, inspirational healing, coming into place at the end of the year. So let's keep our focus on that for 2021. We have 2 days to go before the end of the Trisena at this point, which is bridging into the new year. January 1st is 12 Ben, a dedicated type of force aligned with personal authority. Even a double Quetzalcoatl, double life force type of energy, suggesting that this would be a great time to come to terms with how you want this new year to shape up. What kind of personal responsibility are you going to bring into the new year? What can we all do individually to help us move past the darkness that has had us in its grip? With the final day of this Trisena being 13 Ish, transformational jaguar or transformational magic, we have a powerful energy in place to help us get going with those important New Year resolutions. As noted in my blog, this is the Maya birth energy of 19th century poet Emily Dickinson. She once said, "Hope is the thing with feathers," a thought that ties in so well with this wind, breath, spirit, Trisena. Okay, as always, the days of this Trisena are highlighted in my account of days horoscope blog at whitepoppress.ca. This horoscope blog can also be accessed through mayacalendararts.com, where you can find earlier podcasts, information on Maya Calendrix, posts on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and information on such things as coaching services and personalized artworks. You've seen through this podcast and blog that I often provide examples of how calendrical energies tie in with events and personal lives in a general way. But all I can do in terms of this podcast or blog is provide very small glimpses, not the deeper levels that can be teased out when looking at people's lives, relationships, and overall life paths in a more in-depth manner. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, please check out some of the options outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog. Let's finish off with a brief look at someone born on the final day of this Tresina. 13 Ish. Transformational magic. Let's look at the life and work of early 20th century psychic and medical clairvoyant Edgar Cayce, who has been called the Sleeping Prophet, the father of holistic medicine, and the most documented psychic of the 20th century. The ARE website devoted to his life and work tells us that for more than 40 years, Cayce gave psychic readings to thousands of people while in an unconscious state, even diagnosing illnesses and revealing past lives and prophecies yet to come. But who exactly was Edgar Cayce? He was born on a 13-ish day on a farm in Hopkinsville, Kentucky in 1877. And even from a very early age, he was able to see and talk to his late grandfather's spirit, and often played with imaginary friends whom he said were spirits on the other side. We're told that he also displayed an uncanny ability to memorize the pages of a book just by sleeping on it. Wouldn't that make things easier? Apparently, when he put himself into a sleep-like state by lying on a couch and closing his eyes, he was able to place his mind in contact with universal consciousness or the superconscious mind. From there, he could respond to questions, some very simple and specific, such as medical issues and recommended treatments, and others as broad as, what are the secrets of the universe? The subjects that he covered were so broad and so profound that hundreds of books have been written on his work. And many biographies of his life can be included in this list. Topics included such things as discovering your life's mission, developing your intuition, exploring ancient mysteries, and taking responsibility for your own health. We can trace ideas such as meditation, spiritual growth, auras, soulmates, and holistic health directly back to Cayce and his work. In Virginia, there is a library called the Edgar Cayce ARE Library that houses more than 14,000 of Cayce's psychic readings. These are the core of the collection, readings that cover some 10,000 different topics, which have been grouped into five main categories. health-oriented information, philosophy and reincarnation, dreams and dream interpretation, ESP and psychic phenomena, and finally, spiritual growth, meditation, and prayer. The library also houses one of the largest collections in the world, 80,000 volumes that specialize in the fields of metaphysics, parapsychology, comparative religious studies, holistic health, and ancient civilizations. Casey once said, quote, "All knowledge is to be used in the manner that will give help and assistance to others. And the desire is that the laws of the Creator be manifested in the physical world," unquote. So overall, Casey has had a tremendous impact on this world. He was a kind of magician's magician, born on the final day of this wind, breath, spirit-oriented time frame. Like so many other wise ones, Casey once said that, quote, "Fear is the root of most of the ills of mankind, whether of self or of what others think of self," unquote. And fear has had its way for much, much too long on this planet. Edgar Casey reminds us to, quote, "Know that all healing forces are within, not without. The applications from without are merely to create within a coordinating mental and spiritual force." And one more that fits with this wintry season of social distancing and self-isolation. Quote, "Meditate oft. Separate thyself for a season from the cares of the world. Get close to nature and learn from the lowliest of that which manifests in nature, in the earth, in the birds, in the trees, in the grass, in the flowers, in the bees. That the life of each is a manifesting, is a song of glory to its maker. And do thou likewise." So these are all dimensions of this Ik Tresena that will carry us through Christmas and into the new year. It's all about wind, breath, spirit, communication, life and death, negotiation, healing, and even alchemy. Have a very stay safe Christmas and a smooth transition into the new year. Love to all.